Would you read with me, please, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19? Luke, chapter 19, and verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." This day. Now turn further down in the chapter, verse 41. "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." Chapter 21. And I'm only going to read with you verse 23. "But woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people." Now, finally, in chapter 23, read with me, please, at verse 54. "And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on." Luke is a historian. Of course, he is known in the Bible as Luke the Beloved Physician. Sir William Ramsay was a well-known and accomplished historian in his time. He was one who did not believe in the accuracy of the Bible, and in fact he felt with his credentials he would attack Luke for the many inaccuracies that he perceived in Luke's historic record. Luke writes the record of the days of the Lord Jesus. He writes the record of the days of the spread of the gospel in the book of Acts. So Sir William Ramsay had quite a bit of material to work with. However, as he began to investigate Luke's historical writings, he came to be a believer in the accuracy of Luke the historian. In fact, many of the Christians here tonight who have books about the Bible and study books in their library will have books by Sir William Ramsay. He writes about the accuracy and the historic relevance of Luke's writings. Luke was a historian. It shouldn't surprise you, I might add, that a man who carefully looks at the history of the Word of God will find it to be accurate. This book is accurate because it is God's Word. This book is God-breathed. This book is different from every other book in the world. And when we speak from this book, then we speak with a sense of authority. These are the words of God. This is divine, unchanging truth. But I have read with you tonight of four outstanding days that Luke, the historian, tells us about. And I want to just pick up where we have been listening already and take the word that we have read from verse 54 of Luke 23, that day. That day. I'm telling you tonight that that day is the most outstanding day of history. That day is a day that is outstanding in the history of the Godhead. And I would need to be careful what I say in such a statement. It is amazing to me, because I think you probably have the same difficulty I do. It is amazing to me to think of a God who transcends time, a God who never had a beginning. Endlessly, eternally, He was, and He shall be forever. And for His purpose, He caused there to be time. And marvel of all marvels, He stepped into time and incarnate in His Son. God became a part of this world of time and space and matter. Not simply some remote part, but integral to it. He became a man, sin apart. And He became a man for one grand purpose. That one who was the eternal Son of God, the Word who became flesh. When He is introduced into our Bible by John's pen, John says, this is what John the Baptist introduced Him as, the Lamb of God, the sin bearer for the world. He came into this world because He was the Lamb verily foreordained before the foundation of the world. And He came into this world to die. And the most marvelous of days is this. On a lone hill outside Jerusalem, with a rabble crowd that cried out for His blood surrounding Him, lifted upon a rugged cross of shame, was none less than God's eternal Son. The premier of all men, there was never a man like Jesus our Lord. Despised and rejected by men. Assigned to a rugged cross to suffer and to die. And I wish I had the capability tonight to tell you of the unparalleled shame that was His as He hung upon that cross. The shame of a criminal, for He was numbered with the transgressors. Being hanged, not as high above you as I am above the floor. Perhaps He was hanged just practically at eye level for men to come up to Him, to spit in His face, to make fun of Him, to mock Him while His hands are bound with nails. A spectacle to all that will pass by. No privacy in the anguish of death. And all they that passed by, says the prophetic psalm, shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, He trusted in God. Let Him deliver him now, for He delighted in Him. And outside of Jerusalem's city walls on that day, there hung in shame none less than God's eternal beloved Son. And the Word of God says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Was there a son who would no longer hear his parents' admonition? Then God says, this is the penalty. Old Testament day, this is the penalty. Stone him with stones and hang him on a tree. For cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. And from heaven's excellent glory came none less than God's eternal Son, fully obedient to all His Father's will. See Him crying prostrate on the ground in Gethsemane. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. And submissive to His Father's will, He was hanged on the accursed tree. Unparalleled shame for the Maker of heaven and earth. Unparalleled shame for the Lord of all. I remind you today that Calvary was a place of immeasurable suffering. If I could gather for you tonight an awareness of all the suffering that had ever taken place in the human family, don't you think now that this is the attempt of a man to be an orator? If I could gather together for you tonight all the pain, the suffering of all of humanity, I can tell you without hesitation that what he suffered at Calvary was more. Suffering beyond measure. Not simply suffering from the hands of men. Suffering because of his rejection. Suffering because of the agony of being impaled by nails through his hands and feet. Suffering in the agony of a burning sun that was there beaming upon him in his thirst. But over that scene there came a darkness, and the sufferings of the Lord Jesus are sufferings far deeper. They are sufferings as he bore sin upon the cross. In case you think that God is not going to punish sin, in case you think that there is no afterwards to sin, let me tell you this evening that at Calvary's cross, God caused to meet upon him all his thoughts of anger and wrath against sin. And at Calvary, the Lord Jesus suffered immeasurably. Christians cherish the words, and we link these words so often with Calvary. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow done unto me, like the sorrow that is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce wrath. There was one at Calvary's cross who suffered immeasurably. We sing, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. I want you to know tonight that what took place at Calvary was the work of a substitute. What I should have endured for all eternity because of my sin, he endured in wondrous grace upon the cross. And the message of Calvary tonight, the message of this outstanding day, is the message of a Savior who came from heaven to bear on behalf of guilty sinners the wrath of God. Oh, tonight could I turn your eye to Calvary and tell you God has made full provision in the words we have been reminded of already. It is finished. And all the suffering for sin that God's holiness demanded fell upon him. For Christ also hath once for all time suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Years ago, in Cromwell's England, a soldier was sentenced by Cromwell himself to be shot. Crimes that he had committed were going to be paid for. At the sounding of the evening bell, he would be shot. That young soldier was due to be married. The woman to whom he was to be married silently made her way over to the bell tower and climbed up into that tower until the time when the evening bell was to be sounded, and she grabbed the clapper of that bell with her both hands. And as the bell swung, her hands numbed the sound. From side to side she swung with it. Cromwell called her to give account for what had happened. The story reached him. She broke down in tears and held up before him the bruised and bleeding hands that told the story. Deeply moved, Oliver Cromwell said, "Your beloved will not die tonight. The sentence is passed for what you have done." Her love was told for him, and what she bore. I want to tell you tonight, there are hands that were wounded at Calvary. And not only hands, and feet, and side. And the Word of God says this, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." Thank God tonight there was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live, and the path to the cross He was willing to tread, all the sins of my life to forgive. But let me move to the story we have read in Luke chapter 19 and tell you of this day, because this is the most outstanding day in the history of any man or woman. The Lord Jesus says of Zacchaeus, "This day is salvation come to this house." Could I ask you tonight, have you ever had a day when salvation came to your house? Has there ever been a moment when you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your own Savior? So all right now, it would be nice to be part of the gathering and to say, "I have what all these people have. I have what the rest of the members of my family have. I think that I'm just as good as they are. I really believe the same things they do." And all of that, let me ask you tonight, has there ever been a time when this day was your day of salvation? Now, I'm not asking you whether you can remember the date, but I am asking you, can you remember this most outstanding moment in life when you found out you were just lost? That's where Zacchaeus fit into the story. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He had everything as far as the material things of this world. He had a job and a high position. But what he did not have is what every man or woman needs. Every man or woman needs salvation. Salvation to bring peace and joy to the heart. Salvation to remove fear for the future. Salvation to secure the soul for an everlasting heaven. No one will ever be in heaven who does not have this day. This was a day to be remembered. Oh, thank God. If time weren't a factor, I'd start to tell you how I was saved. Wonderful thing to be able to look back to that day and to thank God that God ever took an interest in me and brought me to know my need, and through His Word showed me that the Lord Jesus had died at Calvary to meet the need of this guilty sinner. My soul in the gathering tonight, this is what we are preaching and this is what we are praying for. We would love for you to have a day of salvation. Absolutely necessary if you're going to be in heaven. Not one sin forgiven until a person comes to this moment. This man was a man of resolve. And I have to tell you tonight that no one gets salvation who doesn't resolve to get it. Salvation does not drift down the stream and you happen to be there and it just comes into your hands and you've got it. Every person will have obstacles to getting salvation. You may have friends and loved ones that will not want you to be saved. There may be some who are around you that will make it difficult for you to get salvation. I will tell you this, there'll be something inside of you that will resist God's salvation. No wonder the word of the Lord Jesus is this: strive to enter in at the straight gate. If you're ever going to get God's salvation, then the word is strive in agony. Talk about runners running the 100-yard dash. Talk about men putting everything they've got into those few seconds. Dear soul, this evening, the most important thing in the world is to put everything in to getting God's salvation.
Wouldn't it be a wonderful night if in this gathering this evening there were some soul that came to this resolve, I must have Christ? Zacchaeus was a little man. Couldn't see over the people, and there were multitudes around that day. And he determined whether it would injure his pride or not. Up the tree he went. Because he was determined he was going to see the Lord Jesus. And I should tell you tonight that every person that has a day of salvation did not get religion. They saw the Lord Jesus. They received Him personally. And underneath that tree comes all the swelling tumult of a crowd behind this lone figure called Jesus. And as he comes beneath that sycamore tree with its big spreading leaves, he stops and he looks up into the tree and he says, Zacchaeus, how do you know his name? Make haste and come down. And can I tell you tonight, it's a great mercy that Zacchaeus responded to the word of the Lord Jesus. No person ever has a day of salvation who doesn't have a time of coming down. And now I don't want to sound like something mysterious. But I want you to know, when a person discovers they're a sinner in the sight of a holy God, they begin to come down. When a person discovers they are lost and there's nothing that they can do to save themselves, they begin to come down. And people, you know, well, I'm not that bad. But God says sinner, and they begin to come down. What God says is true. People can't get saved full of pride. The only people that are eligible for salvation are sinners. And if you would like to have a day of salvation, could I give you the words of the Lord Jesus? Make haste and come down. To simply take the place of a sinner. To acknowledge before God that your sins have offended Him and merit for you eternal judgment. That nothing you can do can change the past of your sins. Nothing you can do can make you worthy of God's blessings. Come down! Because for every soul who comes down, they will have the same privilege and blessing as Zacchaeus did. He made haste and came down and received Him joyfully. If you would come down just to acknowledge you're just a sinner, you will find there's a sinner Savior who's waiting to welcome you. And this meeting tonight would be the most outstanding night of your life if you receive the Lord Jesus tonight. That's what we're preaching for. And we are deeply thankful to God that God has visited some who have attended these meetings. And they look back to days now just in the immediate past. A day of salvation. Soul in the gathering tonight, would you not like to know the Lord Jesus? Would you not want to know every sin forgiven? Would you not want to know that you are saved for eternity? This Savior waits to receive sinners tonight. Come down. Receive Him who suffered and died at Calvary. That hand, once bruised and bleeding, is knocking at your door. He's knocking at the door of your heart. It is the hand of Jesus. He oft has knocked before. God's interest is tonight that you might let that Savior be your Savior just now. Could I tell you simply about this day, which was in some ways the most outstanding day in the history of the nation of Israel? Their prophets had foretold this day. Exactly as the prophets had foretold, Jesus of Nazareth came, He was born, He lived. He spoke, He worked. And the day came when, just exactly as the prophets had said, riding into Jerusalem upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass, was Jesus of Nazareth. And
to that nation was being given a passing possibility. Jesus of Nazareth is available to the nation of Israel. Available to be acclaimed and accepted. And the Lord Jesus weeps because he knows they will miss their day. Thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Will you understand tonight? The men who are privileged to speak to you are just men. We count it a joy and an honor to be able to tell you about the Lord Jesus. But we speak for God. And as the gospel is being preached, it is a time of visitation for men and women. You may not have thought of facing such an eternal reality when you came to the meeting tonight, but the Savior is being made available to you tonight by heaven. And this could be your day. I will have to tell you, I hope you will bear with my telling you this, why in my mind tonight there is a very heavy weight in preaching the gospel. Not this past Sunday, but a week ago Sunday. Two men who are having gospel meetings down in Hickory in North Carolina, accompanied by a friend, went to visit Dale. Dale's father is in heaven. Dale's mother has been on the way to heaven for years. Dale has been prayed for long years. Dale's wife is saved. They went in the front door in Dale's home, welcomed by his wife. Dale went out the back door. He's a grown man, just about retirement age. One of the young men decided he was going to be very direct. He went out the back door too. The two men who were the preachers talked for a few moments to the wife, and they went out the back door. And Wes was talking to Dale as earnestly as he could. And he says to Dale, "Dale, give your soul a chance." One of the men that was there wrote me a note. He said Wes was pleading with them to give his soul a chance. Dale's wife was attending those meetings. I think it was Wednesday night. She left the meeting. She went home to find an empty house. She called her brother-in-law who lived across the street. They went down to the back of their property and there was Dale's lifeless body in the tractor. Dale, thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Dale, you didn't know that when Wes was pleading with you, it was a last voice from God before the final moment of life. Now don't blame me for being overdramatic, because I do not know the future for any soul in the gathering tonight. Let me plead with your soul. In this thy day of visitation, God grant you may not pass by the Savior. God grant you may not miss the golden opportunity tonight. Tonight. He waits to welcome you. He died upon Calvary's cross for sinners. Receive him. This thy day. Let us pray.